Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 13th China Fahui on Minghui.org entitled, Gaining the Fa, Cultivating Diligently, and Fulfilling My Vow, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China.
China Fahui, Gaining the Fa, Cultivating Diligently, and Fulfilling My Vow, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. My sister and I were born into a Buddhist family. Both my grandmother and uncle were devout lay Buddhists. My uncle and an ancient prophecy. My uncle never married and sincerely cultivated in a Buddhist school. He extensively studied prophecies throughout history. He would often show us the page of a book of prophecy that illustrated a boy and the word wood written above his head, which symbolizes the character Li. My uncle told us that in the future a man with the surname Li would come to the world to teach a righteous way. What my uncle had been studying was a small way, but he said that the man named Li would teach a great way. My uncle also said that by his estimate, that man had already been born. The cultivation culture in our family influenced both me and my sister. I learned meditation at a very young age. Pursuing a great and righteous way became the goal of my life. During the Qigong mania that began in the 1980s, my sister and I tried many kinds. Every time we learned a new school, my uncle would ask whether the teacher's family name was Li. When we said no, he would tell us that what we learned was not a true way. In 1996, my sister and I finally found Dafa. No words can describe our joy and excitement. At the time, my uncle was in his 70s. When we told him about Dafa, he was very excited at first, but he became confused when he heard that we were doing exercises in the park and cultivating freely. According to the prophecy, he said cultivation in the righteous way would have extremely hard tribulations and tests, and its followers would suffer tremendous hardships. He doubted if anyone could practice cultivation so easily. Years later, when the CCP launched a nationwide persecution against Dafa, we weren't surprised at all and faced it calmly. I also mistakenly thought that it was inevitable that I suffer persecution to cultivate to a higher level. It was not until I studied Master's teachings on this principle and suffered the persecution several times myself that I truly understood what it meant to negate the old forces. Unfortunately for my uncle, his study of a side way and the cultivation of the assistant soul became a huge obstacle for him to truly enter the door of Dafa cultivation. His main consciousness wasn't able to overcome the interference, and he eventually gave up cultivating Dafa. My uncle had been waiting for Dafa his entire life, but when the Fa finally came to him, he was never able to gain the Fa. It was just like what Master said, quote, "If one doesn't have the requisite predestined relationship, he really cannot come in," unquote. And, quote, "This manifests as people themselves saying that they don't want to become a part of it, as the circumstances around them preventing them from coming in, with people saying this and that and asking them not to go, as they're not being able to set aside things that are bothering them, or as one difficulty or another, something not working for them, or they're not being able to let go of something, all of which results in their not being able to come in." Unquote. What is a Dafa disciple from teaching the Fa at the Conference 11. Even so, he still received blessings from Dafa. It was 2003 and he was 83. He had been seriously ill and bedridden for more than 2 weeks and could barely eat anything. I had just been released from a forced labor camp. My sister and I went to see him immediately and asked him to recite Falun Dafa is good. He pointed at his throat, showing us that he was too weak to talk. How about you repeat that in your mind? I said to him. He slightly nodded his head. 1 hour later, he coughed up sputum. Later that day, he suddenly wanted to eat. He resumed a normal diet and continued to recover day after day. Attaining good health, he lived another 7 years and passed away without suffering at the age of 90. The persecution. When the persecution first started, I felt very sad. I didn't know about the old forces at that time, but I was very firm in continuing the practice. I found a park and continued to do the exercises with several practitioners in the morning. Several more practitioners joined us later on. We did this for about 6 months. It really was a miracle. Without Master's protection, this would have been absolutely impossible. Of course, the old forces were also seeking opportunities to stop us. I wasn't very diligent in personal cultivation, and that was taken advantage of by the old forces. I was riding my bicycle one day when I was hit by a car. I lost consciousness, and the driver left the scene of the accident. The police sent me to the hospital and informed my family. When I awoke, there were several stitches on my head, and the truth clarification materials I had brought were gone. Several days later, while we were doing the exercises in the park, many police officers showed up and arrested us. Some reporters from a local TV station videotaped us. I realized that those people were the police who sent me to the hospital and turned the materials in to the Domestic Security Division. They had been following me in the past few days and discovered our practice site. Most of the practitioners were released shortly. I was interrogated by the police. They wanted to know where I got those truth clarification materials. I didn't tell them anything and was sent to the detention center. The police said that as soon as I told them where I got the materials, I could go home. I said, "If I tell you who gave me the materials, what will happen to that person?" "He would be sentenced and imprisoned," the policeman said. "Then I'd rather be the one imprisoned. I won't tell you my sources." Perhaps because my thoughts were pure and righteous, the police never came back to question me. I was released a few days later. Negating the old forces. After the persecution started, I was repeatedly arrested, imprisoned, and had my home ransacked. Due to the notion that cultivating a righteous way meant going through tribulations and tests, I actually acknowledged the persecution and accepted it passively. When the guards were torturing me in prison, although I was resisting the persecution on the surface, I didn't truly understand the FA's principle of completely negating the old forces' persecution. Several weeks after I was released, I was arrested again and taken to the detention center. This time, I finally realized my problem. I made up my mind that I must cultivate myself well and not be persecuted again. Master said in Don't Be Sad from Hong Yin, Volume 2, quote, "Imprisoned as you are, don't be sorrowful or sad. Carry on with righteous thoughts and actions, and the Fa is with you. Calmly reflect on the attachments you have. Remove your human thoughts, and evil will naturally die out," unquote. I later learned that after I was detained, the police went to my home and attempted to ransack it again. My husband had garnered some legal knowledge to protect me. He told the police that unless they showed him a search warrant from the procuratorate, it was illegal for them to search our home. He asked the officers to give him their names in writing and explain who ordered them to come here. No one was willing to sign their names, and they all left. To rescue me, my courageous husband made a big banner with detailed information about their persecution of me. To help more people see the banner, he climbed out of the window and hung the banner on the wall. We lived in a high-rise apartment, so it was very dangerous for him to hang up the banner. But he was doing something righteous, and divine beings in other dimensions helped him. The local authorities were very nervous about his banner. They came to my home several times to ask my husband to take it down. My husband said to them, "I will take it down when you release my wife." After 10 days in detention, I was released on bail. I knew that Master was helping me. Although I continued to clarify the facts, I only talked to people and didn't bring any materials with me. I did not want the materials to be evidence for the police to use against me. 3 months later, staff from the Domestic Security Division called and asked me to go back to the police station to complete paperwork, as my bail would expire soon. I had strong righteous thoughts at that time and refused to go. In an attempt to have me return to the police station, they threatened my family and asked my friends to talk to me. I refused to cooperate with them. A year later, 2 officers from the Procuratorat came to my home and told me that the police had charged me because I didn't cooperate with them. My husband came over and, with a strong righteous air, told the 2 officers that their handling of my case was illegal. Unable to dispute my husband's statement, the 2 officers were about to leave, but they still wanted to leave a document of the charges with me. "I don't want it. It will become the evidence of your violating the law and persecuting me, so it's better we don't keep it at all." "That's right," my husband added. "You should take this back. Otherwise, not only the police, but also you will be sued in the future for participating in the persecution." Okay, we will take it back then," they said. After that, no one ever came to harass me again. Master taught us, quote, "No matter what the situation, do not cooperate with the evil's demands, orders, or what it instigates," unquote. Dafa Disciples' Righteous Thoughts Are Powerful, from Essentials for Further Advancement 2. I truly felt that as long as I could hold the thought firmly on the Fa, I could completely negate the old forces. Face-to-face truth clarification. My main truth clarification method is to talk with people face-to-face and give them materials based on their situation. I met an elderly person on the bus and chatted with him. We talked about how corrupt the government is. He agreed with me. But he also told me that he was a retired military officer. He didn't want to comment on the government as he was receiving a decent pension from them. Since he was in the military, I switched the topic to forced organ harvesting and the persecution of Falun Gong. He understood about the persecution, so I was able to persuade him to quit the Chinese Communist Party. He readily agreed and gave me his real name. Slanderous pictures on the bulletin board. I filed a complaint against Jiang Zemin last year and soon received a receipt from the Supreme People's Court and the Supreme People's Procuratorate. I went to the neighborhood committee to do some paperwork. The person in charge, who used to bring the police to ransack my home, was there. "You have suffered so much. Are you still practicing Falun Gong?" she asked me. "Since you asked, I want to tell you that there is a new ruling that the Supreme People's Court and Supreme People's Procuratorate have to accept and review all the complaints filed with them. The persecution of Falun Gong is totally illegal, and it was all started by Jiang Zemin. I just filed a criminal complaint against him." The neighborhood committee head was stunned. She said eventually, "There is nothing we can do. We have to follow orders from above." I passed by the neighborhood committee some time later and noticed some slanderous pictures against Dafa on their bulletin board. One stated something like Falun Gong practitioner falsely sued government officials based on new rulings. I felt sympathy for the officers for not understanding the facts. I went to the neighborhood committee the next day. The previous head had already retired. I introduced myself to the new head and gave my complaint against Jiang Zemin to her. I told her that the situation is changing rapidly, and it's different from the time when Jiang was the CCP chairman. I persuaded her to see things clearly and choose the right side. I told her about the slanderous pictures on their board and asked her to take them down. She appeared to be unaware of it and asked 3 staff members to take them down. The 3 people went out together, but no one dared to do it. "Someone from higher up asked us to put it there," they said. I didn't want to push them, so I further clarified the facts to her. I left my complaint with her to read. I had been worried about whether she would report me to the police. Then I thought, isn't it a good thing if she lets more people see my complaint against Jiang Zemin? More people will understand the facts. I relaxed after that thought. When the head of the neighborhood committee returned the complaint to me, she said, I liked reading it. It's very well written. I totally agree with you. It's just that I'm too busy and I can't spend too much time talking with you. That's fine, I said. I can share with you later if I see any good materials. When I left, I noticed the slanderous pictures were still there. I said to Master in my heart, please let me remove it. Upon learning that I was about to remove the pictures, my grandson also wanted to join me. Grandma, you can remove it, and I will recite Falun Dafa is good on the side. We took the pictures down without a problem. After a few days, the bulletin board was covered with other pictures. No one ever came to ask me about it. Master said, quote, when you encounter ordeals during your cultivation, you have got to cultivate yourself and look at yourself. That doesn't mean acknowledging the ordeals arranged by the old forces and trying to do well amidst the ordeals they've arranged. That's not the case. We negate even the very emergence of the old forces and everything that they've arranged. We don't even acknowledge their existence. We're fundamentally negating all of their things and all of and only the things you do while negating and getting rid of them is mighty virtue. It's not that you're cultivating amidst the ordeals they created. Rather, you are to walk your own path well while not acknowledging them, not even acknowledging the elimination of their ordeals manifestations. Unquote. Teaching the Fa at the 2004 Chicago Conference from Teaching the Fa at the Conference 4. Some practitioners were harassed after they filed their complaint against Zhang Zemin. Some thought it was risky to file the complaint with their real names. I shared with them that if they think it's risky, then they are acknowledging the persecution, and it would invite the police to persecute them. I also said that suing Zhang was part of the progress of Fa-rectification. If we follow the path arranged by Master and firmly believe in Master and the Fa, the evil won't dare to persecute us. On the other hand, I also prepared my complaint very carefully. I really put my heart into it and revised it again and again. I hoped that, no matter who read it, it could have a positive effect on truth clarification. Master said, quote, but as complex as these things may be, there is Master as well as other gods there to help with the deeper things involved. And the surface-level things involve great challenges as well, and these are what you need to put your heart into working on. Unquote. Fa teaching given at the 2015 New York Fa Conference. When we do things on the Fa and really put our hearts into it, with Master's help, the final result and impact is immeasurable. Thank you, Master.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.